Hello, welcome to the Voice of West Papua. My name is Gibson Tsu. For generations, the people of West Papua have carried stories of culture, resilience, music, language, and community. Stories that deserve to be heard. The Voice of West Papua Radio exists to share those stories, connect communities, and create a platform where West Papuan voices can reach audiences across Australia and beyond. We are proud to acknowledge Tricia Community Radio, our biggest sponsor and supporter, whose commitment to independent media and community broadcasting helps make this program possible. Please donate to Radio Zone to keep the spirit and the voices of West Papua on air every Tuesday at 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Thank you.
What's that up there on the airwaves?
Ring 9419-8377, 9419-8377. Or you can be really smart and do it online, 3cr.org.au. You can text in a donation on 0488-809-855. And if you're really boring, you can turn up at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy, pay on the day and donate. So we only got $545 to go to reach our target of $12,500. Currently we're at $10,955. Now I'm sure we can get that small amount. Now if you don't need a legal legitimate tax deduction, we still take your donation and you'll get lots of stuff in the mail. 9419-8377. Ring now. Now remember, we're at a particularly difficult time in Australian history. 3CR has been here for 50 years and we've always been at the forefront of that struggle to create a more egalitarian community. And just in case you've forgotten, don't forget the 50th anniversary party on the same day the United States of America turns 250. That's the 4th of July, Saturday the 4th of July. But you don't have to go to Washington and you don't have to see the Washington buffoon. Just come along to the Collingwood Town Hall. That's right, Collingwood Town Hall, Saturday the 4th of July. There'll be stalls, there'll be people, there'll be fun, and there'll be a lot of embarrassing moments from the past which are going to be aired by the 3CR organisers, I have been told. Just really, really terrible things. So turn up 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. We'd love every listener who's listened to 3CR over the last 50 years to turn up. So that's Saturday, 4th of July. It's only, what, 10 days away or 11 days? 4th of July, 3CR. 50th anniversary celebrations. It costs you nothing to come in, but I assure you, by the time you buy all the paraphernalia there and the food, it's going to cost you at least a dollar. So turn up, Collingwood Town Hall, Saturday the 4th of July, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Meet the people behind 3CR and keep this institution alive for another year. And don't forget that Radiophon is not over till the 30th of June. So next week we'll have the final total. The sacred cows have wandered in. They've given donations to 3CR. They're going to donate their flowers. That's very kind, sacred cows. Here we go.
Evil minds that plot destruction. Sorcerer of death's construction.
An analysis you'll never hear anywhere else. Anarchist World This Week, Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. 10 a.m. every Wednesday. Listen to the Anarchist World This Week for an up-to-date analysis of local, national and international events.
Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia, courtesy of the Community Radio Network. This program is streaming live on 3cr.org.au. The program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. My name's Joseph Toscano, and I'm hosting today's program. And if you're wondering what anarchy is all about, anarchos without rulers, it's about creating a society without rulers, not a society without rules. What gives rulers the ability to determine the lives of billions of people, as we see today, as we see the buffoon and the Vladimirs of the world? What happens? Well, inequalities in power and wealth. And the wonderful thing about living in Australia is that inequalities in power and wealth continue to increase ad nauseam. Now, as I said before, the program is podcast. Now, just a few community announcements. Just in case you find yourself in Melbourne on Saturday the 4th of July, to all our listeners outside the 3CR network, 3CR, the radio station I broadcast the Anarchist World This Week from, is holding a 50th anniversary birthday party, 50th birthday party. Well, now they're in our middle age, at the Collingwood Town Hall, Hoddle Street in Abbotsford, not Collingwood, the Collingwood Town Hall. So if Saturday the 4th of July, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. come along, no entry fee, meet the people behind this institution, Community Radio 3CR. Now, before we go on, last week, unfortunately, or fortunately for you, I had to do a pre-record for the rest of Australia, because Community Radio 3CR was having a radiothon, and I encouraged people across the country to support their local community radio station, especially those community radio stations that have the courage to broadcast the Anarchist World This Week. Now, an interim report as far as the 3CR radiophon here in Melbourne is concerned. Currently, we've raised $10,955 for Community Radio 3CR. Our total was $12,500, although I pretended it was $20,000 just to make it interesting. So we're $545 short. So if you can donate, please donate. And don't forget that you can do what the rich and infamous do. You can legally decrease your taxation obligations. You can make sure less money goes to AUKUS. It's very simple. If you ring now on 0394198377, 0394198377, and donate, we need about $545, or go to 3cr.org.au/donate. And you can donate. And obviously, if you are in Melbourne, you can always turn up at 21 Smith Street during working hours in Fitzroy and donate to the 3CR Radiophone. Because you've got to remember, as I keep saying, independent radio in a capitalist society is totally dependent on our financial independence. Sorry for the tautology. It's very simple. Most radio stations in this country that broadcast are privately owned, and they rely on corporate sponsorship or advertising. The government gelded ABC relies on government funding, and that funding can be restricted at any time it likes. But 3CR is not reliant on government funding. It is not reliant on corporate sponsorship. It is not reliant on advertising. So that means that all the programs that are broadcast on Community Radio 3CR are independent, because we rely heavily on our listeners to assist us to continue to function. Now, a lot of people think that community radio is dead. Community radio isn't dead. Broadcasting isn't dead. what we find is, although there are, you know, this program is podcast and you can access that podcast by going to 3cr.org.au, Anarchist World This Week or Anarchist World, the fact is that broadcasting is still an important mechanism via which we are able to influence people and influence the direction that this society moves in. So I encourage you, irrespective of where you're listening to this program, I encourage you to support your local community radio station. It doesn't have to be financially. Many community radio stations rely on volunteers to function. If you've got the time, instead of wasting your time being an internet or a World Wide Web warrior, or even going to the gym, volunteer. Give them a ring. Send them an email. Turn up. See if they need volunteers. It's a great way to meet like-minded people. I've been broadcasting here at Community Radio 3CR now for 49 years. 20 years on the Community Radio Network. And I can guarantee you that Community Radio is still relevant and it's still important that we support it. The more financially independent we are, the greater the amount of variety in terms of ideas we can present to the public at large. You're listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. My name's Joseph Toscano. Now, you get to a stage in life where you don't go to christenings or weddings, you go to funerals. And I've reached that stage in my life now, being a septuagenarian. Now, I'd like to pay my respects to Denise Hassett. Denise died a week ago, unexpectedly. I'd like to pay my respects to Denise. Denise had been an activist all her life, an extraordinary human being. She was the reason I stood as an independent candidate in the electorate of Flinders in Victoria during the last federal election. She has been involved in numerous activities over her life. I think she was 78 when she died, and has made a difference, not just to her local community in Mount Martha in the Mornington Peninsula, but made a difference statewide and nationally. A great fighter for not just human rights, but a great fighter for the struggle towards economic, cultural and social equality. Now, many people in the Frankston area, which is a suburb and outer suburb of Melbourne, would remember Denise. Many people in Mount Martha knew her. She was a regular contributor as a letter writer to the local media as well as the Melbourne Age. So I'd also like to thank Sarah Russell, who went to Denise Hassett's aid, but unfortunately Denise, she wasn't able to revive her and Denise died. Now, Denise didn't want a funeral. She didn't want a celebration of her life. What she wanted was people to get together to remember her and remember all those important struggles that we are now trying, all those wins that we have had over the last 50 to 60 years, which have been pushed aside by a rising tide of hatred and intolerance in this country. So there will be a celebration of Denise's activities on Saturday the 25th of July. So put that in your diary, Saturday the 25th of July. It'll be at the Dava Hotel in Mount Martha in Melbourne, in Victoria, I should say. And I'll give you more information as we get closer to that date. She's having a private funeral for her son and grandson and her very close friends. So Denise Hassett, you've made a contribution. Unlike many people who just think it's about family and friends, she struggled for her community, for all Australians to ensure that many of the things we take for granted, like a pharmaceutical benefits scheme, Medicare, public education, are available to everyone. So rest in peace, Denise Hassett. We will be meeting tonight at Frankston for our normal end of the year. Last Wednesday of the month, we have a dinner in Frankston in Melbourne at La Porchetta on the Nepean Highway. And we'll raise our glass to you, Denise, because Denise was a regularly attended us getting together in Frankston. So rest in peace, Denise Hassett. Now, the thing is, I may have spent a little bit of time talking about Denise, but there are many Denise Hassetts around the world, in our communities and around this country. People who have made sacrifices in order to assist people, not just assist individuals, but make significant political, legislative changes which have a positive impact on people's lives. And people like Denise Hassett are forgotten. They're never mentioned in the honours list in this country. They're pushed aside. Their contributions are forgotten. Each and every one of us knows a Denise Hassett. I encourage you to listen to the interview I did with Denise on 3CR, the Radical Australia program, which I do, from the 25th of September 2025, where you can learn much more about her. Go to 3cr.org.au/Radical Australia, 25th of September 2025, a 1-hour interview with Denise Hassett, which goes through her life. Now, Denise had been sick for a number of years, but that didn't stop her from being involved in activities. That reminds me, the Eureka Australia Medal nominations are now open, and they're open to people like Denise Hassett who've made a contribution, who have made sacrifices to ensure that we create a more egalitarian community, who've been brushed aside, who've been forgotten, but we don't forget them. So if you have somebody you would like to nominate, they may have died, and we could do it posthumously, which we do sometimes, let us know. You can leave a message on 0439 395 489, 0439 395 489, or you can email us at info@anarchistmedia.org. info@anarchistmedia.org. Let's move on. Down but not out for the count. You like that? You see those boxes? They're down. The referee starts counting. They drag themselves up and then they punch the living daylights out of their opponent and down them. Now, we are at a critical juncture in this country's history. It's been a long time since the 1920s and the 1930s for the rise of the neo-fascist organisations, the New Guard and the Old Guard, that we have been at such a critical stage in this country's development. And the reasons I've mentioned in the past that we find ourselves in this situation is the fact that neoliberalism, that's deregulation, privatisation, corporatisation and globalisation, have been a total disaster for the majority of people in this country. This lays open the billionaires and the multimillionaires of this country to criticisms about how they have acquired their wealth at the expense of the population as a whole. And this means they feel that they're under increasing pressure. What we find historically at moments like this is that we see the rise of political, social and cultural movements which are supported by these very same billionaires to divide and rule us. To divide us on the basis of race or religion or language or where we come from. So that we're continually fighting amongst ourselves regarding basically cosmetic issues while we leave their economic domination alone. And that's been the tragedy over the last 40 to 50 years. People that have been fighting for a more egalitarian community have been sidelined by identity politics. And although there have been many gains in that particular region, as far as economic equality is concerned, it has not been on the political, social and cultural agenda. So I've never seen so many distressed people, so many distressed activists who say to me, well, where's all this coming from? Who've lost hope? And the fact is, now isn't the time to lose hope. Now is the time to organise and fight back. Because groups like Divided Nation, which find themselves the flavour of the month, have nothing to offer anyone except division and hatred. And that's the reality. Irrespective of how pathetic the elected representatives we've put in place have been over the last 50 years, the fact is that what we are seeing is a transition from neoliberalism to neo-fascism. And neo-fascism is based on three important principles. One is nationality, love of country, a fake, you know, love of country. Flag waving, you know. Secondly, identifying an enemy. And in this country, the enemy is the other. And thirdly, and the most important component of creating a neo-fascist opposition is by financial support from the corporate sector. And nothing made my stomach turn more than seeing Australia's richest person throw their support, wholehearted support, behind Divided Nation, because this is the way they will continue to acquire wealth at the expense of each and every one of us. And the tragedy is in this country that the marginalised, the dispossessed, those that have been ignored, those who have suffered because of the neoliberal revolution, now think Divided Nation under Pauline Hanson, the new Messiah, is their Messiah, their way out of the situation they find themselves in. There is no way out of this situation unless we begin to tackle the inequalities that exist, that we have institutional change. Now, when the Australian Labor Party was forced, because of increasing support for Divided Nation, to do something about this and introduce some minor changes to capital gain laws and negative gearing laws, the opposition has been extraordinary. It's an opposition which has dominated the media, dominated the legacy media, social or asocial media. It's as if the end of the known universe had come because of these minor changes which would affect a minuscule minority of people in this country. And that's the fight. And although we may be down, we are not out. Ivan spent 49 years hosting the Anarchist World This Week, to be defeated by a rising tide of hatred, a rising tide of division. We are not out. We are getting up off the canvas, each and every one of our listeners. It's all very well to hide in the corner and go tut, tut, tut. It's all very well to become a, you know, an internet warrior. But the fact is that ultimately change comes when people open their mouths, they put their head above the parapet and they begin to fight back. Even if you fight back in your local circle of friends, because you will be amazed at how many of them somehow think that the garbage which is impeddled as positive change by divided nation, you know, how many support that garbage? And the fact is that if we don't fight back, we will be knocked down. And as we saw in Europe in the 1930s, we will see the triumph of neo-fascism in this country. And neo-fascism is all about increasing authoritarianism, increasing control, and leaving those in power in power. Listen to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. This program is streaming live on 3cr.org.au. The program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. Well, Gaza. Remember Gaza? G-A-Z-A? The occupied territory, which is the home of over 2.5 million people. The place where 85% of infrastructure, including hospitals, schools, community centres, places of worship, have been razed by the Israeli Defence Forces. Now, you may remember a few months ago, I think it was 6 months ago, that the Washington buffoon promoted the idea that Gaza was going to be reconstructed from the bottom up. Nothing's happened. We still have over 2 million people living in the most dire circumstances. It seems every time the Washington buffoon says something, he somehow thinks it'll materialise out of thin air. Look at what's happening in the Ukraine. Look at what's happening in Iran and the rest of the Middle East. Gaza, the West Bank. He makes a pronouncement and somehow it's supposed to materialise out of thin air. The fact is, nothing has changed for the people of Gaza. It's got worse. Almost half of Gaza is occupied by the Israeli Defence Forces. Sorry for the slip up there. The people of the West Bank are being pushed off their lands and murdered. Over 1,000 have been killed since the atrocities which occurred in October 2024. Just an extraordinary situation we find ourselves in. Or was it 23? Extraordinary situation we find ourselves in. Where's the money for that reconstruction program? Where has reconstruction started? Why is the situation the same? Why do we still see bombings in Gaza? Extraordinary. So I'll leave that with you. Look, the US of A is about to celebrate its 250th anniversary. And the Community Radio 3CR, from where I broadcast, is about to celebrate our 50th anniversary on the same day, believe it or not, the 4th of July. Now, I'd just like to move on closer at home, because it's all very well talking about the Middle East, talking about Ukraine, but the fact is, this, as you and I know, there are many forces beyond our control, and irrespective of what we may do and what we may say, the fact is, because of the concentration of power and wealth in a minuscule number of hands, that it doesn't matter what millions of people think or what millions of people say. It doesn't matter that thousands have been killed in conflicts around the world, as long as those people who acquire wealth and power believe that it's in their interest to continue these atrocities for which there is no consequences, It's simple, isn't it? Think about this, consequences. You go out, you shoplift something. You get caught, there's a consequence. You go out, you speed, you get caught in your car, you speed, there's a consequence. You go out and you behave despicably and you're arrested for, you know, disorderly conduct. Consequence. You're a nation state. You go out, you murder people. You murder non-combatants. You destroy their infrastructure. There's no consequences. None whatsoever. Nil. The world says tut tut and the atrocities continue. Look at what's happening between Russia and the Ukraine. Look what's happened in the Middle East. Look what's happening in Myanmar. And I could pull up hundreds of examples. Sub-Saharan Africa. No consequences. So the bigger the atrocity, the fewer the consequences. The more power you're able to exercise, the fewer the consequences. You have war criminals in charge of nation states like Russia, Israel. No consequences. And that's the dilemma, isn't it? When you have increasing inequalities in power and wealth, there are no consequences. None whatsoever. And that's the situation we find ourselves in. But, as I said before, we are not down and out. We may be down. We may be distressed by what's happening around us. But we haven't given up the fight and we won't give up the fight. I was going to retire from active political work in July 2027, which marks the 50th anniversary of the Anarchist World this week. I thought, well, I've done enough. But I'm going to continue to the next federal election in 2028. And I'm going to continue to articulate opposition to the growing neo-fascist, and that's what it is, it's a neo-fascist threat we face in this country. And we need to fight against this growing neo-fascist threat. To shrug our shoulders and say, oh, I've done enough, I'm sick, I've done my 5 years, I've given money, I'm a warrior on the World Wide Web. It's not enough. The fact is we need to continue that struggle against inequality. And that's what it's essentially about. And that's why, you know, I describe myself as an anarchist. Not because I'm about destruction. I'm about ensuring that the very things which give people, a minuscule minority, the ability to determine the lives of billions of people on this planet, that's inequalities in wealth and power, that we fight against those inequalities. We may never achieve what we want, but by fighting back, we can achieve what's practical in terms of stopping these juggernauts, because that's what they are. And while we become divided, we forget who's putting their boot on our neck. We will continue to be losers. And that's what we are today. We are losers as a people in this country. Because we think that our problem is directly linked to the others in our community. Not to the fact that we have had institutional structures like Parliament which have been usurped by powerful interests who ensure the legislative agenda which is pursued by our parliamentary representatives continues to support the expansion of their wealth and power. And when we see minor reforms in Parliament, we see this huge fight back by these elements in our society. And we're supposed to, you know, accept it. Well, I don't accept it and you don't accept it. Let's move on. Indonesia. our nearest neighbour. Now, everybody knows that I've always been interested in West Papuan independence, and I'm convener of the West Papuan Independence Collective, which finances the West Papuan office here in Australia, in Melbourne. But currently, Indonesia is facing increasing turmoil by younger members of that society. Because a lot of people think that when the Suharto regime was overthrown, that somehow things had changed in Indonesia. Well, things haven't changed in Indonesia. Indonesia is ruled by a handful of oligarchs, and they take it in turns to become president. And interestingly, the current president of Indonesia is a war criminal, was involved in the Suharto regime. As we see in Philippines, where the son of the former dictator, Marcos, is now president of that country. But the Indonesian youth are beginning to fight back, and there are almost daily mass protests especially in Jakarta currently, and also many other parts of Indonesia. Protests not based on, you know, religion, but protests based on the fact that people are economically exploited. I never use the word disadvantage. That's bullshit. People are exploited. And they're fighting back against their government because they want real change. They want power to be removed from the oligarchs. They want the oligarchs to be broken up. Well, in Australia, we rail against minor cosmetic changes to the economic system, which has a minor impact on a minuscule minority in this country. We're not out on the streets on a daily basis protesting against this onslaught which is occurring in this country to protect the rich and powerful. We're happy to sit on our laurels and, you know, live our lives free of any pressure, we think. And when there's a little bit of economic pressure, we go, oh, maybe we should vote for Divided Nation. They seem to have a solution. Let's get rid of all the migrants and we'll be all right. Let's move on. The housing crisis. Have you noticed the hullabaloo about the minor decrease in housing prices? I mean, let's not forget, the legislation regarding capital gains tax and negative gearing does not affect anybody who currently has an investment property. Grandfather clause. It doesn't affect them. It doesn't affect anybody who wants to invest in new housing. It affects people who in the future want to manipulate the marketplace, the housing marketplace, to enrich themselves at the expense of the rest of the country. So we are seeing three pressures on the housing market which have led to a decrease in auction clearance rates. One, increasing interest rates. Let's not forget, increasing interest rates always have a dampening effect on the market. Two, the unilateral war declared by Israel and the United States on Iran. That's having impacts on people's economic viability. And three, the recent changes to legislation, which haven't even come into effect yet, which will ensure that first home buyers and people will have an equal footing as far as acquiring housing is concerned. So obviously, there's a slight dip in the prices of residential housing. And everybody thinks it's the end of the known universe. I mean, everybody's a winner. If you want to sell your home and you've lost 5%, well, if you're going to buy a new home, it'll be 5% cheaper anyway. So you haven't lost anything. I mean, everybody's a winner as far as the housing crisis is concerned with the new changes to legislation, except possibly investors who don't want to go to the trouble of investing their money in new residential property. They can still claim negative gearing. Let's move on. Paraquat. P-A-R-A-Q-U-A-T. Ever heard of it? Contested territory. Now, pesticides are a significant component of agriculture in this country. Agriculture in this country is not some type of idyllic quarter-acre block or 10-acre farm, you know, hobby farm somewhere out there in the sticks. Agriculture in this country is about massive corporate-owned farms, in the majority of cases, which rely on overseas labour and which rely to a significant degree on pesticides. Without pesticides, there would be no modern agriculture, because we're talking about monocultural practices. Acres and acres and acres and acres of the same crop, whether it's vegetables or wheat or sorghum or canola oil, and the list goes on and on. And any of you who are involved in gardening know that if you don't use pesticides, weeds are a problem. And you've got to go out there and pull out the weeds week after week after week to harvest your crop. Now, there are pesticides and pesticides. And the latest one that's come into the spotlight in this country is a pesticide called paraquat, which many health and medical sources will tell you contributes to the increasing number of people we see with Parkinson's disease, which is a neurodegenerative disease. And paraquat has been banned in over 70 countries, including the whole of Europe. But what we've seen recently is that the body which is responsible for overseeing chemicals and the pesticides that are used in this country has continued to allow paraquat to be used. We see the same debate with Roundup, and we see the same debate with a number of other pesticides. Now, obviously, with 8 billion people on the planet, you need some type of control as far as weeds are concerned, especially in monoculture. But there are pesticides and pesticides. And for us to continue as a nation to support the use of pesticides which have been demonstrated to be harmful to the community, not just those who use those pesticides in order to control weeds, but how about the rest of us who eat that food? Think about it. So is it contested territory, or is it the power of agribusiness is so powerful in this country because it's a major exporter that we continue to buckle under the pressure when it comes to the question of health versus profitability for agribusiness in this country? Let's move on. Palestine Action. Now, I don't know if you keep an eye on what's happening in the old DART, the United or Disunited Kingdom, I should say. But Palestine Action, which was a non-violent direct action group, Palestine Action, has been categorised as a terrorist group in the United Kingdom. And there's thousands, I think about 2,000 or 3,000 people awaiting trial because they've had the audacity to put up a sign saying Palestine Action. Now, a lot of people think, well, that can't happen in Australia. Well, I'd like to go through this again because I think a lot of people have forgotten that in this country, unlike in England or this United Kingdom, where people can eventually appeal to the European courts, which has a human rights charter, the fact is that in Australia, there are no constitutional protections for human rights in the Australian Constitution. We have four rights in the Australian Constitution. One is freedom of religion, although that can be limited. Two is fair compensation if our property is acquired by the Commonwealth Government. And that, again, is debatable if it's fair or not. Three, a right to trial by jury in serious cases. And four, and this is the one, this is my favourite, this is the one, this is my favourite, four is the fact that states cannot pass legislation which discriminates people from another state. And obviously that was necessary, because Australia was a federation of six separate colonial entities, okay? Now, people say to me, well, housing is a human right, and I say, bullshit. People say to me, the right to protest is a human right, and I say, bullshit. People say to me, the right to freely associate is a human right, and I say, bullshit. Because under the Australian Constitution, the High Court has found on several occasions there may be implied rights to the Constitution, like an implied right to freedom of speech during an election period. So there's no freedom of speech, there's no freedom of assembly. And as we've seen consistently in this country during World War I and World War II, as we see now, is the government of the day can pass any legislation it likes, irrespective of it trampling on what are so-called human rights, because there are no human rights. And although Palestine Action has been designated a terrorist group in the divided kingdom, the fact is that in this country, and we see it over and over again, the Commonwealth Government, through legislation, can ban any organisation at any time it likes because it may pose a threat to Commonwealth interests. And that could be a non-violent direct action campaign. We've seen the changes in laws regarding environmental protests that have gone through state and federal parliaments over the last few years, and how the penalties for what are essentially protest activities have skyrocketed. And the fact is that under this current legislation, this is legislation after 9/11, 20 years ago, this is legislation where I could be walking down the street, I could be kidnapped by a security agency, I could be stuck in a room for 7 days, I could be questioned, and I refuse to answer questions. I can be jailed for up to 5 years. And I can be kidnapped because I may inadvertently have information that may assist the authorities in their investigations. And then if I turn out just to be an innocent bystander and they chuck me out, if I talk to anybody about what's happened to me, if I go to the media or talk to my family, I can be imprisoned for 7 years. And if you think I'm making this up, I'm not. That's the reality. And that's the reality in Australia. As far as so-called Western parliamentary democracies are concerned, we actually have less rights than they do in the United States of America under the Washington buffoon. Maybe we should call up Kim Il-jung and join up with North Korea, the new coalition of the evil. Seriously, come on. So let's think about the situation we find ourselves in Australia in 2026. We have a rising tide of hatred and division. We have an inability to understand as a people where our, why we feel under so much pressure. Individual pressure. Economic pressure. You can't pay your bills. It doesn't matter what the banks say. At the end of the day, you're going to be liquidated. Economically, that is. At least we don't have debtors' prisons anymore. And we don't seem to understand that all these legislation that's gone through Parliament in the last 50 years to ensure that government, you know, moves out of the way of the corporate sector and allows them to, gives them its head to make any decision they like to increase their profitability at the expense of the population at large, and we just sit in the corner. Data centres, that's the big one now, isn't it? Now, revolutions and reforms occur when a significant number of people lose their ability to earn an income. It's very simple. The Industrial Revolution, we saw the closure of the commons, people forced into the cities. We saw some the atrocities that occurred as a consequence of that. And the push back by ordinary people. Well, I should say extraordinary people. It's usually extraordinary people that push back. Ordinary people eat their cornflakes and, you know, keep playing warrior on the net. But it's extraordinary people who push back. And we saw during that period, a period which was in the 1830s, where we saw the rise of the Luddites. And the rise of data centres reminds me of the rise of the Luddites. Everybody thinks, well, not everybody, most people think that the Luddites were some type of agrarian movement which was against technological innovation. Well, obviously, the Luddites were against inappropriate use of technology, and that's why they smashed the looms. And you may find this an interesting aside, that 432 Luddites were sent as convicts to good old Australia in the 1830s, and many of these people had a profound impact on the type of society that Australia became in terms of that struggle for a more egalitarian community. So we have these data centres, which supposedly are the engine rooms of artificial intelligence and the new technology, which is supposed to make us all instant experts. And people are beginning to fight back. Not because what the centres are, but what, because of the impact these centres are having on the lives of people. So it'll be interesting to see whether we see a new Luddite movement develop in this country. Because the data centres are not just about increasing water and taking up space and increasing electricity use. They're much, much more than that. They're about creating a society where people's income is profoundly affected. Where we find you don't need every human being in society to be working in order for society to function. So the increasing unemployment which will occur as a consequence of these highly centralised data centres, which are not owned by communities but which are owned by a very minuscule number of people will have a profound impact on the type of society we will become. And maybe we'll begin to realise that the ultimate issue isn't identity, and the ultimate issue isn't whether we're First Nations or not, and that the ultimate issue isn't whether we're descendants of immigrants or whether we're immigrants or whether we're, you know, we're here for 60,000 years. The ultimate issue is that we have allowed a society to be created. We have allowed a society to be created which, a society that has been created which allows us to be continually marginalised and pushed aside because somehow we think that the way forward is to give this minuscule minority total control over our everyday lives. So as I said at the beginning of the program, we may be down, but we're not out. Anybody with one synapsing active neuron in their brain knows that division is the end of any ability to create a different community or to move in a different direction. The fact is, nobody is listening to our drumbeat, but our drumbeat that the situation we find ourselves in is due to growing inequality, which is due to the fact that our legislative assemblies, our parliaments, have now been taken over by a minuscule minority. It's only then that we will be in a position to resist the rise of neo-fascism in this country. I know it sounds extraordinary, but when you look at it, the fact is, it's not extraordinary. It's something we faced in the past. It's something that we've defeated in the past. And it's something that we can face today and we can defeat today. And it's important that we maintain, not our rage, because you get tired when you're angry, but we maintain our activities to ensure that we are in a position to resist this growing tide of intolerance, ignorance and hatred, which is beginning to dominate activity in this country. You've been listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. This program has been streaming live on 3cr.org.au. The program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. My name's Joseph Toscano. I've been hosting today's program. You can leave messages on 0439 395 489. 0439 395 489. You can send emails to info@pibci.com. Don't forget to listen to The Anarchist World This Week on your local community radio station. Continue to support your local community radio station. Volunteer your labour. Support them financially. And if you want to support the 3CR, which is the station I broadcast from, ring 9419 8377. Thank you once again for listening to The Anarchist World This Week, courtesy of the Community Radio Network on your local community radio station. That number again, 0439 395 489. Thank you for listening to The Anarchist World This Week on your local community radio station.
Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction.
An analysis you'll never hear anywhere else. Anarchist World This Week, Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. 10 a.m. every Wednesday. Listen to The Anarchist World This Week for an up-to-date analysis of local, national and international events.
Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.